We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
We've seen this movie so many times. Why would we think it'd be anything different?
Ton of energy. I say booming.
I think it's done. It's a done deal.
The Patriots just 2 weeks. In 2 weeks,
they got to play. They got to face the Chiefs in early December. But yeah,
I'm wet.
Hey, cool it.
Dale Arnold.
No, we are doing the same thing with Trevor. I pray for him right now. Whatever's going on with him.
But if you're a Jet fan, you're just saying another reason why we're not going to be there.
We're going to take a break.
Rich Keefe.
Right. Literally grabbing the bull by the horns. That's what I do every day.
Dale and Keefe. Middays.
AB scored that touchdown. I had to have a cigarette afterwards.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Fourth and final hour, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. Been a lot of talk here, well, for the last week or so, about Antonio Brown. Now, I have to admit that 3 hours ago, when this tweet first appeared, I missed it, Rich. I don't follow Anna Cabrera of CNN on Twitter. She has 54,600 followers. Her Twitter bio says, CNN anchor and correspondent, mom, wife, runner, traveler, gardener, dog lover,
a lot.
Skier, huge Denver Broncos fan.
There you go.
Proud Murrow College alumna.
What is that?
I don't know. Murrow College? I'm not sure.
Sounds
where that
made
is.
Up.
No, it's a real place.
She's falsifying her credentials?
Oh, here it is. It's the Washington State University Edward R. Murrow College of Communication.
Oh, okay. So she got the job at CNN.
Yeah.
It's funny because this didn't get picked up at all until TMZ just recently tweeted this out. They have a little story with some Antonio Brown details here.
Anna Cabrera tweeted out 3 hours ago, NFL meeting with Antonio Brown's accuser lasted 10 hours.
10 hours.
A source close to the case tells CNN.
Wow.
Now, we learned earlier today from Dan Shaughnessy, who tweeted out that Brittany Taylor's attorney is apparently the same attorney who represented Meek Mill. I don't know who would have given Anna Cabrera the information that the meeting lasted 10 hours. We do know, I think Charles Robinson of Yahoo had this, that the NFL went to Brittany Taylor. She did not go to New York. They traveled, met with her, but 10 hours.
Yeah, 10 hours. So someone from an NFL representative, we don't even know who, right? Maybe it was
my
Goodell?
Guess was Lisa Friel.
Yeah.
Just because she's kind of the domestic violence
right.
type of.
But they don't even listen to her all
no.
the time. So maybe she flew out and met with Brittany Taylor for 10 hours. You would have to imagine the next step or steps would be talk to Antonio Brown and maybe talk to Marquise Brown, who everybody believes to be the potential witness in the case, his cousin, rookie now with the Ravens.
Also known as Hollywood.
Hollywood Brown. Maybe they will talk to those two. And I wonder, because we haven't heard anything else. These are the only two leaks, is that the meeting reportedly happened for 10 hours and not in New York. Do we learn by Friday like what Antonio Brown's fate may be as it relates to this case? And you never know with Antonio Brown, other things could pop up. I mean, the Klemko article sort of points to that situation with the painter, which we didn't really know about. So there could be more things. But I wonder by Thursday, Friday, Saturday, do we have a sense that, you know what, he may be a bad guy, but he's going to be on the field for the rest of the season? Or there's more here, and they're going to have to continue. Because I feel like any continuing of the investigation leads to the chance that maybe he does come off the field.
Daniel Wallach, who's the legal analyst for The Athletic, amongst other places, tweeted out, working on a piece for The Athletic about whether Brown could be placed on the commissioner's exempt list as soon as this week, will be posted shortly.
I think it needs to be criminal charges to put him on the exempt list, right? I don't think they can based on what it is right now. Although, the sit-down with Brittany Taylor could go a long way.
I promise you she was compelling.
Sure.
She sounded, I'm just telling you, I'm sure she sounded credible. Now, It's a non-confrontational type of thing. She's not under oath.
Right. She could, yeah.
She can say what she wants. Right. There's no representation of Antonio Brown's side. So it's her. I assume her attorney would be
and
there.
And I was going
to say. And the league representative.
And there's no defense attorney trying to poke holes
right,
in her story.
Right.
But I'm also surprised it took 10 hours. I mean, that's a lot to map out, isn't it?
It seems like there'd be a lot of stuff.
There's a lot going on in there. And now maybe there was from the NFL representative, maybe there was some pushback. Again, not playing the role of defense attorney, but trying to at least say, all right.
Now tell me again about
this. Trying to push back a little bit. And then you wonder, like, is Antonio Brown going to have to go speak to the league for 10 hours? Like, is that how long that's going to take? And if he's going to do it, today would be a great day because they're back, you know, back at practice tomorrow and the rest of the week. But I'm wondering if by Friday we have a better sense of what his future is here, you know, this season.
So earlier in the program we had on Robert Klemko. He wrote the piece on SI.com yesterday, long form piece, the headline of which was "There's More History to Antonio Brown's History." Obviously a lot of work went into it. They talked to a lot of people, and it led us to begin our conversation asking Klemko, how long did it take to put this whole thing together?
Yeah, you know, we actually heard from a tipster who said that Antonio Brown owed a bunch of people money. And, you know, we thought that was odd, and that was about a month ago. And so we started asking around and going through his social media accounts because, you know, so a lot of these people that he's worked with are tagged. And we later found out that the reason that he's promoting all these people is because he thinks, you know, sharing a picture with them on Instagram is some form of payment, despite any kind of verbal contract that he's entered with a vendor, you know, whether it's a chef or a videographer or what have you. So we started putting out feelers about a month ago, and then things started ramping up about 10, 11 days ago. We got a couple lawyers got back to us, and then the lawyers actually started getting new clients once these various suits were being reported. And so we were able to connect with those people. And then through a lawyer, we met a woman with this charity foundation who then connected us with a woman who accuses Antonio Brown of sexual misconduct. So the whole thing took about a month.
So when they got the initial tips, according to Klemko, when they first got, you know, whatever tip they got,
right,
this was a month ago. He was still a member of the Oakland Raiders. At that point, at least publicly, there'd been no whisperings of a possible civil suit. We didn't know anything about negotiations between Brittany Taylor's side and Antonio Brown's side. All of that came after the beginning, at least from what Klemko told us, the beginning of their investigation.
I do find the story, again, pretty interesting, even though a lot of it, you add it all together, wouldn't suspend Brown. It wouldn't do all of these other things, at least I don't think, if you're reading it. But so many times, you know, when we were discussing the bigger story, the bigger claims against Antonio Brown, you say, well, you know, did we really see this coming? Like, was he a bad guy? Like, what do you have? And we would point to the Facebook Live video. We would point to the balcony thing, which is in the story. You know, there was also him speeding. That wasn't in here, but him going 145. But then you start to see a little bit more. And sort of, you know, the last couple of years, it's been pretty consistent. Anybody he's doing business with, he's not going to pay him, and might just be a jerk to really everybody in his life, it seems like.
A quick interjection here. We'll get back to the Klemko stuff. Jets coach Adam Gase just announced quarterback Trevor Siemian is done for the year.
So looks like Luke Falk will be starting this Sunday.
At least for the foreseeable future. Yeah. By the way, Demaryius Thomas, week to week.
Okay, so you probably won't see him either.
Probably not.
Yeah, all right.
All right, back to Klemko. And we said that there was a lot of stuff in his piece. It's a very long form piece, but a lot of what he included in there seemed to kind of just point to, you know, Antonio Brown being a jerk.
Yeah, you know, he has a history now of hiring people to do a job and then creating some sort of division when the pay is due, and then not paying. And, you know, at some point that becomes illegal. And a lot of these people enter verbal contracts with Antonio Brown because they don't have any suspicion that he's not going to pay them because he is worth this amount of money. We did hear over the course of the reporting that there were a couple people considering criminal charges against Antonio Brown. And we weren't able to report on any of those specifically because they haven't gathered all of their evidence and made the filings and all that. But, you know, I think that that's going to be coming here in the next few weeks.
And we should stress, based on what he said, the possible criminal charges are not related to sexual assault or anything. These are people for whom Antonio Brown has had business dealings, which have gone poorly for some of the people who've contracted with Antonio Brown.
So this is really kind of like puts you in a pretzel, because there's been so much made over the last week about, you know, civil versus criminal.
Right, right.
But you have a civil rape allegation, and then you could have a criminal, like, he owes me money allegation.
Right, right.
So, like, what do you do?
Because criminal, in those cases, it must be, like, fraud or,
right.
or, you know.
And so for anybody who said, well, if it's criminal, well, that should keep him off the field. Yeah, but if it's criminal about, oh, he owes money, I don't know. Like, I don't think that should take him off the field. But at the same time, like, if it was criminal rape, then that could. I just think it's going to be really tough here, and that's why the league is in one hell of a predicament. And I think the Patriots, it's as simple for them as whatever the league says we'll do. If he's eligible to play, we're going to play him. If the league says he can't, that's it. That's their answer.
Yeah, they've really punted this to the commissioner's office.
It's up to them. They're kind of, you know. But the league, this one's tricky because there's so many different kind of angles to it.
Well,
especially if, and Klemko just said there, in the next couple of weeks, if all of a sudden he has criminal charges against him, but I don't think anybody in the world takes criminal charges of
fraud
and equate it with rape.
Right.
But if you're really breaking down criminal versus civil, well, then that's what you might have.
Well, you pointed out to Klemko that even after his piece ran, the attorney for Antonio Brown put out a statement saying that Antonio completely denies all of the allegations, even in the piece that Klemko wrote. This is beyond the denial
the
of
painter
the
Brittany
one. Taylor.
He denies right. that. Right? I don't think he necessarily denied the owing
painter,
of the money thing, but the painter where he had the hand towel, that part of it, he's completely denying.
You know, we reached out to both Drew Rosenhaus and Andrew Heitner about 12 hours before the story came out on Sunday morning, and didn't hear back from them, so that wasn't a big surprise. They certainly had ample opportunity to talk to Antonio Sunday night before we dropped the story Monday morning and get that same response. So I guess they felt like at some point they had to come out with a denial. You know, believe what you want to believe. Antonio Brown knows this person. I've seen Instagram messages, text messages between her and him. And over the course of the relationship, the way that he ghosted her after their initial encounter.
Yeah, see, I don't doubt that they know each other. Now, I'm not an expert on Antonio Brown's Instagram page, but part of the story was he would promote her stuff on there, and that's one of the reasons why, at first, she liked that relationship, because here's a guy who has a big following, and he's promoting her artwork. So that's probably pretty easy to prove, right? I mean, I'm sure somebody has examples of that, or has maybe screen grabbed it or whatever. So I think kind of similar to Brittany Taylor, I don't know if Antonio Brown's denying knowing her. He's just denying what she's saying he did. So I don't know if there's any way to prove that.
And finally, we talked to Klemko about the Patriots, you know, taking a chance here by the signing of Antonio Brown.
Well, look, I don't know that that's true, that they didn't know about this lawsuit before they signed him. I mean, Robert Kraft, it's been reported that Robert Kraft didn't know, but I find it hard to believe that Drew Rosenhaus, given all the clients he's had with the Patriots, given all the clients he will have with the Patriots, wouldn't disclose to Bill Belichick when they were talking about getting Antonio there that this is something that may pop up. I mean, it's been in mitigation since the early summer. So I don't know that that's true, that the organization didn't know that he was in the midst of this lawsuit.
Yeah, Dale, you and I both think that they did know to some level.
They knew something was going on.
Right, but I mean, you know, Ian Rapoport of the NFL Network, Adam Schefter of ESPN have both said that they didn't know. So, I mean, it's really what you believe, because there's been very mixed reporting on that.
If you're wondering about possibility of charges, criminal charges, quote-unquote, if they were filed against Antonio Brown, there's something called theft of services. Typically prosecuted as larceny, may be either a misdemeanor or felony based upon the value of the services illegally obtained. So, and I'm just using this as an example, the chef who says, you know, I did a $35,000 meal for this guy and he didn't pay for it like he said he was going to pay for it, there would be theft of services. Now, the question is, does $35,000 rise to the felony level, or is it a misdemeanor? And I don't know the answer to that.
Right. Can you imagine if after all of this, what gets him off the field is him not paying a chef or him not paying like a charity, him not pay like things that if you add it all together are probably under $100,000 or so, which again is a lot of money, but to Antonio Brown, not nearly as much. And it, maybe it's this other stuff that they can't prove, you know, like the Brittany Taylor aspect of all this. Maybe it can't be proven, but if he gets hit for all these like larceny deals like that, that'd be ridiculous.
Now, I guess you could ask the reasonable question. I understand the question. According to Klemko, they contacted Drew Rosenhaus and the attorney some 12 hours before the piece published. And you could say, well, God, 12 hours. Do you give them enough time to even respond? And they didn't respond, by the way.
No.
Is that enough time? And I don't know the answer. I mean,
I don't know if they would anyway.
It seemed like the attorney put out a release on the Brittany Taylor civil lawsuit within minutes after it being filed.
Yeah, he put that out on Twitter. And then, you know, Rosenhaus, he did that SportsCenter interview not too long ago. And he'll pop up there whenever he feels like it. You know, Rosenhaus doesn't need to be quoted in a Sports Illustrated article to get his point across, right? I'm sure he could hold a press conference at any second.
And people listen is to willing to yeah. at any second.
Yeah. I don't know. Again, my takeaway still from the Robert Klemko article yesterday was there's a lot of examples of him being a guy that you can't really trust if you get into business with him. Kind of a shady, kind of creepy guy at times. But you can't read that article and say, ah, he's definitely guilty of what Brittany Taylor said happened.
No.
He might be guilty, but it doesn't prove it in this article.
No way to know that. And I'm not even suggesting, you know, that there's guilt or innocence here.
Because we had a caller earlier say this just seems like it's piling on. And it's like, well, he's just reporting on stuff. Some of it we had heard, and some of it was new. You know, I feel like Klemko is just, in this case, doing his job. He got some information about this, did a little bit more, did reach out to Antonio Brown's side. They didn't get back to him. Not a huge shock in stories like this. But he doesn't, it's not like it's littered with opinion here from Klemko. These are just stories that he's heard. And you can choose to believe him or not, but when there's so many of them added up like this, it seems like at least him not paying anybody he gets into business with, that seems pretty consistent.
And it seems as though if there were criminal charges pending, and we're just using this as an example, criminal charges pending for theft of services, I'd be paying that bill real quick if I was Antonio Brown. Now, it appears...
You would think his lawyer, Ann Rosenhaus, would advise that as well.
It appears he doesn't feel like he has to pay anybody, ever, anything.
Anything, anybody. Yeah, everything.
Yeah, you're lucky
on the house.
I allow you to be associated with me.
Right.
But if there were pending criminal charges, if the lawyer for this chef, and I'm just using him as the example for the sake of argument, if the lawyer says, listen, we're going to file charges for theft of services, there'd be a check on this guy's desk within an hour.
I wonder if there is written, like what the contracts are with all these people. Like, did he go through and have like a formal contract? And in there, could he find any kind of loophole? Like, oh, I don't have to pay if this happens. And then maybe that's his way of getting out of it. Or were these handshake agreements? Or, you know, that also, they're all probably different, right? And some of them are $700. Some of them are $35,000. Some of them are like $2,000. Like, they're all different, but the stories are about the same.
We have a texter who says if the stolen property, quote unquote,
yeah,
is valued at greater than $250, the law considers the offense to be a grand larceny, which is a felony in Massachusetts. Grand larceny can be punished by a maximum sentence of 5 years in state prison, a maximum fine of $25,000.
Wait, or for $250?
That's what it says.
All right, well, that would be all of these instances.
Every
then.
One of these is greater than that. Now, it was Klemko who said it was his belief that several of these parties are considering filing criminal charges.
But they weren't ready yet, apparently, is what he said. He's like, he didn't get up.
Because wouldn't you think that there's a negotiation going on? Hey, listen, I don't want to do this, but just pay the damn bill here.
Yeah, Antonio needs to probably sit down and start cutting a whole bunch of these checks, and then maybe some of this stuff is going to go away. Maybe pay the people that you said you were going to pay, and there's not as much of an issue going on.
And I understand that some professional athletes, some, thankfully not all, some consider themselves to be, you know, pretty high and mighty. And at this stage, you know, like I said, you should be lucky. I'm putting out an Instagram post about your stupid artwork here. You should be paying me for it. But at some point or another, doesn't harsh reality have to seep in? Doesn't Drew Rosenhaus or this attorney have to say to Antonio Brown, listen,
yeah,
pay the damn bills.
Right.
Make this go away.
Because all this adds up, and now all of a sudden we're going into court, and now you got to pay lawyer fees. Now, he must pay Rosenhaus. Like, Rosenhaus is stuck by him for a while. So he must just make sure that that thing gets direct deposited right from his thing. So,
Felony larceny in this state is now $1,200. Again, all of these
still
would apply.
Except for the artwork.
Except for the,
that was,
well,
$700.
Well, and that was a charitable thing. Yeah, that was a charity that he stiffed.
Just write it off, Antonio. The $1,200, it's a write-off.
All of these cases that are, yeah, that are delineated by Klemko, at least in Massachusetts, I don't know about the individual states where these took place. In Massachusetts, all of them would be more than the $1,200 grand larceny,
yeah,
ceiling or floor.
Right. Yeah. I just, do you think he plays this Sunday?
I'm beginning to wonder.
Yeah, I know. Every day there's something bit different.
I thought he was.
Yeah, me too.
I definitely thought he was.
But I mean, if they sat down with Brittany Taylor for 10 hours, something's going to come out of that. Either they believe her, they don't believe her. Like, that's one thing we haven't read at all. Like, was she really compelling? How emotional was she during this?
It's what everybody's going to want to know. Yeah. And my guess is she probably gave compelling and,
yeah,
and probably, you know, you would listen to it and you'd say, well, I got to be honest, she sounds pretty straight to me. And
based off of what you do know about Antonio Brown, how do you think he would come across in one of these interview sessions?
I think that would scare the hell out of the Patriots.
Can't be great. I mean, they wouldn't even let him talk to the media after the game.
I think it would scare Rosenhaus. Yeah. I think it would scare the heck out of his attorney.
I mean, they got to coach him up.
And I think the Patriots would say, oh, no, please.
Yeah. Because I feel like even if he didn't do it, he might not be that convincing.
No, and
you might listen to him and be like, oh, Jesus.
And you run the risk, at least if I'm the Patriots, I'm thinking, this guy's going to come in there and sound condescending cocky.
If he sounds like his email, the way he writes his emails is how his interviews come across, then he might be in trouble. But if his lawyer, and maybe Rosenhaus, I don't know how much Rosenhaus would be a part of it, but if his lawyer's there and his lawyer does most of the speaking or at least coaches him up really well, maybe he's got a better chance. But that, I would worry about that. Just him sitting down there and answering questions. And then, especially if this, I don't know if it goes 10 hours, but it goes a while, he starts to get annoyed a little bit.
Gets a little tired.
Because he also has more to lose.
Looking at his phone.
He has everything to lose here. Whereas Brittany Taylor, if it doesn't go her way with the NFL, yeah, it's probably not ideal. But guess what? She still has the civil lawsuit going on.
Right.
And that's where the NFL is not going to pay her any money. She has to go to court and get it that way. But if Antonio Brown goes up there and now he's not playing football anymore, and then he still has to go and pay her money. Plus, her case is stronger if they can also point out, oh, by the way, we talked to the NFL and they suspended him. What do you think of that?
The league had questions about whether this happened or not. Oof. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. Back to the calls with you guys coming up next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now back to Dale and Keith.
Tell me who's on that show.
Dale Arnold and Rich Keefe.
Who?
Dale Arnold and Rich Keefe.
Keefe's a nice guy.
Keefe's a nice guy.
On WEEI.
(617) 779-7937 is the telephone number. The big news from a football perspective out of New York / New Jersey earlier today was the fact that Eli Manning has been replaced as the starting quarterback for the New York Giants. Daniel Jones takes over immediately. You know, we then find out that Trevor Siemian is now out for the year after tearing ankle ligaments that will require surgery. Luke Falk will be your starter against the Patriots, and he will be the starter until Sam Darnold returns from mono. They are looking at the possibility of bringing in like Brock Osweiler or David Fales.
It's the loser crew that's available. All these guys that were high picks, and for some reason teams still feel like, maybe there's a chance. Or I don't know if they feel like there's a chance. It's just kind of desperate mode. But there's probably a handful of like Rolodex guys that, well, I guess you can sign them. They're available. They've played in the league. They're still somewhat young. Just a body.
Would you, if you're the Giants, would you trade Eli Manning to the Jets?
Yes, I would trade Eli Manning. If I was the Giants, I would trade Eli Manning to anybody who called.
Now, we should point out that, obviously, Sam Darnold is not going to be out indefinitely.
I don't know if the Jets, right, they might not want him.
In fact, they said he was at the facility earlier today. They're just trying to find out from the doctors how they handle all of this stuff. He is not going to be long-term. You know, most people thought 3, maybe 4 weeks at the most. So if you're the Jets, do you figure, you know what, we'll just suck it up and get through these next few weeks? And
yeah, I think so. I think Luke Falk starts 2 games. You're going to get beat down by the Patriots anyway.
Probably.
And then you just hope Darnold's back week 5 and can stop kissing everybody and keep playing.
All right, I think
you're obsessing
with the
whole kissing thing. You never know, Dale. He just could.
Well, apparently, yeah.
So if you thought there was a quarterback problem in the NFL before the season started, I don't know what the word would be now to describe it.
It is a disaster.
Like, you'll just look at, just take the AFC.
And, oh, by the way, nobody's calling Colin Kaepernick.
No.
If you're Mike Freeman, keep beating that drum if you want. We're talking about a guy who wasn't that good when he last played
and hasn't played in three years. 2 years ago, maybe. But it's just not going to happen. You look around, though. So, the AFC East. Obviously, you have Brady. The Dolphins are probably going to ping pong between Fitzpatrick and Rosen.
Yep.
That's a disaster situation. Josh Allen's off to a nice start with Buffalo. And then the Jets are down to their third-string quarterback in Luke Falk. The AFC North, they just lost Ben Roethlisberger the entire year. So right now it's Mason Rudolph. We'll see how long that lasts. The AFC South began the year right away without Andrew Luck. So here comes Jacoby Brissett. Nick Foles is supposed to be the big signing for the Jaguars.
Yeah.
He's out. You got Gardner Minshew, who I like, but come on, he's a 6th-round pick from this year. Don't know how well he's going to do. AFC West, I mean, the Broncos are going with Joe Flacco for their guy. So there's all kinds of issues. Then you get into the NFC, and Drew Brees is out. Cam Newton appears to be out. Who knows for how long. It is a mess out there. The quarterback situation is bad.
I mean, all you have to do is look at some of the names.
Yeah.
I mean, Paxton Lynch got signed by the Pittsburgh Steelers today to their practice squad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. These guys, they're all going to be coming back into the league now.
Brock Osweiler.
Yep.
David Fales. Paxton Lynch.
That's terrible. It's really bad. I mean, they're all getting a sniff. I mean, you go back to why didn't the Patriots trade Brian Hoyer? And they maybe could have gotten something for him. Although at the time, I guess there's some salary cap implications.
There weren't quite as many guys, you know,
on
the sidelines at that point. But
man, it is pretty rough sledding out there for a lot of these teams. Which, again, just goes back to, you know, how the Patriots have such an advantage over everybody. And then now when you start picking off starting quarterbacks, it's even more of a distance between them and everybody else.
617-779-7937. George is up in Maine. Hey, George.
Hey, fellas. Great seeing your show. I don't want to try to read your minds, but I got to believe if we could do a do-over from the Antonio Brown deal, we'd probably do it because we quietly let it go. It's got a life of its own. But it reminds me of I'm a Yankee fan. I'm weird. I like the Patriots and I love the Yankees. And when they added A-Rod... Yeah, it's a weird one. When they added A-Rod in 2004, I thought, wow, this is great. And then every inch of the way in his entire career, except for 1 year, he was the best player on the planet, and he made your team die. It was just a slow death, and they just couldn't get their hands around it. We kept saying, geez. And every time a microphone was in his mouth, he lied.
Yeah.
Investigated by the league, he lied some more, and he had a brand he was trying to project and protect. But AB is a hell of a talent. But
right,
somebody.
Well, I'll tell you what, George. I would still do it. I wanted to do it before all this news came out, going back to two Fridays ago or whatever it was. When the Raiders were talking about suspending him, I thought there was a window into trading for him,
right.
And I thought it was going to be a trade, but then they ended up cutting him. And so I definitely wanted him. Yeah, this definitely makes it worse right now, and us having to talk about this, and you're waiting to see what the NFL investigation is. But as far as on the football field, I still want him. And he may be able to stay on the field all season long. And as good as the Patriots are, this was an element of their offense that they didn't have. Like, is there a guy, if you take Antonio Brown off, do you feel confident that, on the 25-yard line going the other way. Like, after a touchback, so you have 75 right. yards to go, that you could get the ball to a guy, and he was going to be able to score. I didn't think they had that explosive playmaker guy, whether it's a quick slant,
except
take it to
for the
house.
Quarterback guy. He's...
Well, no, but he's not going to run it 75
no,
yards.
No, but I would have always had confidence that he was going to find a way to get you down the field.
Yeah, but it would be more like just picking up first down after first down.
Right.
I'm saying at any second, and there's a handful of guys in the league, like Julio Jones is one, Odell Beckham is one, Hopkins is one, Tyreek Hill clearly is one. So not every team has one, and the Patriots didn't until they got Antonio Brown. Because I know a lot of people read it as, oh my God, this is overkill. The offense is already so good. But I think what he does is different than a lot of the other guys on the team. So I would still do it. And now I know you run the risk of they find out more information and then he gets suspended and now you don't have him anyway. But I guess from the winning at all costs part of it, I would still have signed off on it.
I guess I'm curious too. What are they saying, privately and quietly in the executive offices down at Gillette Stadium? Not the football offices, because my guess is Bill Belichick is pretty much able to handle all the slings and arrows that get thrown in the direction of the organization.
I
wonder if Robert Kraft is sitting there with Jonathan saying, 10 hours? Really?
Oh, maybe. But if he really hated it, then I don't think he's on the team right now.
Yeah, I don't know.
Or do
I
you mean, think he just lets Belichick do whatever he wants? Because that may
be too fine a point on it. I don't know about anything he wants. I do think they were convinced or have been convinced that the civil accusations being made by Brittany Taylor are baseless, that they are without a foundation. I think they feel, this is them talking, not me, that they feel that this is, as Drew Rosenhaus described it, a money grab.
And maybe that's how they feel. Maybe they've done some due diligence on their part, and that's what they came up with, and they have to sort of weather this storm, because this is a bad look, for a couple of weeks talking about this nonstop. But I do think, and I don't know whether this is the case or not, I think him being on the team should be 100% up to Bill Belichick. I think whoever
and
he
my
wants,
guess is,
and maybe it is.
It is. I do think that there, and we said this before, Bill Belichick couldn't sign Antonio Brown and then send an inter-office memo. Hey, Robert, just so you know, we signed Antonio Brown today.
Right.
I mean, I got to think there's got to be a discussion.
Oh, I'm sure. Somebody like
that level.
With everything going on.
Not like, hey, we just signed Gunnar Olszewski,
no,
okay?
No, doesn't care. No, I'm sure it has to get approved, but I'm curious in the 20-year history, how many times has Belichick said, hey, we want this guy, and Kraft said no? Because part of what has made Kraft...
And would we ever know if that was the case?
Yeah, I don't know. But that's what I'm wondering.
Right.
And I think in Kraft's case, one of the reasons why he has been so successful is because he hired Belichick and let him do the job. He's not Jerry Jones and playing GM himself. He's not some of these other owners who step in and say, hey, this is what I want to do.
He's not have a stopwatch watching to Bucky Jones.
No, he stopped doing that.
He stopped doing that. I think he learned it that one time was enough.
I think with Parcells, he learned a pretty valuable lesson. And maybe he didn't like it at the time, but he said, you know what? I just need to hire the right guy. I don't need to also do his job. I need to hire the right guy and let him pick the players. And if any head coach in the history of football has put himself in a position where he should have 100% say over the roster, it's clearly Belichick. So I hope it's completely up to him. But that's why, again, I go back to the line that Ian Rapoport had over the weekend, that if Kraft knew about these, the impending lawsuit, he would have vetoed the deal. And I'm like, well, if Belichick still
if that's the case, let's say Belichick says, hey, listen, I'm going to sign Antonio Brown. And let's just say Robert Kraft goes, you know what?
Yeah.
I don't want the public blowback. I don't want to hear I'd like you to stay away from this one. Does Belichick say, hey, we sign him or I quit? Because I don't think that would happen.
I don't think he does that necessarily, but I wouldn't blame him if he did.
I don't think it would happen here.
Kraft would say no?
No. That if Kraft said, I'd rather not sign that guy, that's the straw that breaks the camel's back for Belichick.
But I think Belichick would be livid if that was
maybe
the case.
But again, we don't even know if this has ever happened.
I don't know.
In recent memory.
You
go back to the Christian Peter thing, but that was a long time ago.
When, Myra Kraft probably had a say in that one for sure. There was a guy, if I remember correctly, he was like an undrafted free agent. Was it Josh Brent? I don't know if you guys remember this. There was a player who had, I believe, a gun charge. and was signed to the team for a second, and then he was gone.
And
you didn't know if it was like a, wait a minute, you want this guy? Or if it, maybe he just got cut because he wasn't good. Like, he was a low-end roster guy. This was a few years ago. They added him, he was here, and then he was gone. And so maybe that's
And was that a situation where ownership said to the guy who runs the football team, I don't want that guy on my team.
Maybe. But I also feel like if they greenlit Albert Haynesworth and Michael Floyd and Corey Dillon, and all, if they greenlit all of those guys, what player would you step in on? Like, what guy who is not locked up behind bars would they actually step in and say, you know what, we can't have him, and then Bill does it and is fine with it?
And not, believe me, I'm not equating offenses at all. Trust me when I stress that. But I wonder in the aftermath of what happened here with Aaron Hernandez, if ownership got a little touchier about
who
it is we have under contract and what kind of chances we take on people. And I don't know the answer.
I don't know either. Maybe. Yeah, hard to say.
I mean, they've certainly brought in some other problem children.
And maybe it
some have worked and some of them haven't.
And maybe it was after Hernandez where that guy, I want to say Josh Brent, maybe it might not even be that. It was a player like that that was on, then gone. And maybe
and
they said
it was
after Hernandez.
Post Hernandez, yeah. I could absolutely see, you know what? Don't care.
Because of all the Antonio Brown stuff. Now, I think he owns a gun, because wasn't one of the stories that when his place got robbed, like, a gun might have been missing or something like that. But none of the other accounts involve him waving a gun around, right? And if that was the case, then maybe he's not here.
What else you got coming up next? OMF at the top of the hour. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Right back to Dale and Keith on WEEI.
All right, let's get to a couple of stories.
You all right?
I just gave you a headline.
I know you did.
Off the air.
That was a good headline.
I'm not even sure I can say it on the air.
No.
Can you censor it for us?
Well, it's a Newsweek story that's out there.
It is a Newsweek story.
All right, I'll just read it. Newsweek.
Go ahead.
Massive semen explodes.
Now let's go to a clip.
What else you got?
I was going to go with this. Start out.
Yeah.
A lot of people have taken what's happened in the first 2 weeks of the NFL season and projected the entire season and what's going to happen from this point on, including Steve Young, part of the Monday Night Football pregame crew, who's decided this is over.
Well, look, I can tell you, they told him to clean out his locker after the game, take your nameplate, go to the bus. And he wanted, that's the last thing he wanted to do if he keeps playing along. It's a wrap. It's a wrap in the AFC, except for the Chiefs. And I know that's going to make the Buffalo Bills mad, it's going to make the Ravens, a lot of teams are going to be the Chargers. There's a lot of teams that need to play football to get there. But to me, it's a wrap for the championship game, because they're going to take the division. If they can face the Chiefs in early December, they win that game, they get home field. We've seen this movie so many times. Why would we think it'd be anything different? There's nothing about it that doesn't feel like it's even more so, because the last time they had a superstar receiver, they went undefeated. And I know that's why people are thinking that way, but I used to think, oh, you can't say that about football. There's too many variables.
I wanted the ball, Steve.
There's too many variables, but you got it. My point is, the Patriots are the team. I hate this. It's early September. I think it's done. It's a done deal. The Patriots
just 2 weeks? In 2 weeks?
They got to play face the Chiefs in early December. But yeah.
It's done.
It's over. I am excited to go to Miami, though. Because we've had some rough Super Bowls. It was Atlanta, Minnesota, and Houston were the last three. So we're due for a good one. So Miami, forward to the Miami trip.
What else you got?
Well, I'll tell you what. Jalen Ramsey could...
By the way, a quick update.
Okay.
An NFL insider, you can take this for all you want. I'm reporting Cam Newton taking time away from the team for personal and physical reasons is likely to not play against the Cardinals.
Okay. My guess is...
I mean, his own GM said is...
Cam Newton probably not going to play.
What else you got?
Thank you very much. How about this? Jalen Ramsey got into a little bit of a beef with his head coach, Doug Marrone, on the Jaguars sideline this past weekend.
Heated.
Yeah, and well, today he had a press conference. I don't know if Jalen Ramsey always has a press conference, but he had one today, and he was asked about the dust-up with Marrone.
I play mad, so I play mad all the time. I play like that. I play with a lot of emotion all the time. That little incident, it was an incident. I mean, it didn't carry up. Like, I don't know when it happened in the first quarter, second quarter. I'm not sure. But it didn't carry on the whole game. Like, boom, we dropped it. And we went out and we had a hell of a game the rest of the game. The defense, we played really good out there. We, the DBs, we strapped up. We did our thing. So I didn't let it affect my play. Didn't let it affect anything out there. What Coach said, he said he don't recall what happened, right? So, y'all go off that.
There you go.
That settles it for
me. Put me in the camp.
Clears everything up.
Trade for Jalen Ramsey. You might as well. Add Jalen Ramsey.
In for a penny, in for a pound.
If you have Gilmore and Ramsey, now you have the two best corners in the league on one team. I'm in on that. You slide some other guys around.
He did say earlier, you know, we're not talking about who the best corner in the game is, are we? No, we're not.
No.
He plays here.
He plays here. I like Gilmore a lot, but you can always have more than one great corner. There's no rule against it, Dale. Add as many great corners as you want. Jalen Ramsey, not a huge cap hit. Wouldn't be too hard to manipulate.
About $7.5 million.
Would you trade a first-round pick for Jalen Ramsey?
I would have done it yesterday.
Thank you, Shime.
All of a sudden you're buying everything Shime's selling.
Well, that's a good point. That's a good football take right there.
I sell a lot of good stuff, Dale.
He does. He's 6-1 on...
Quite the salesman, let me tell you.
6-1 on the year, picking games, by the way.
I'm hot.
And
by the way, now that the show's over, we're still waiting for the Nickelback karaoke.
Oh, yeah. You want to sing us out, Shime? Do you want to take a little Nickelback and sing us?
Yeah. Hold on. Let me pull it up.
All right. You do that. That'll be a nice way to end the show. That could maybe be Tuesdays. Shime does like a karaoke Tuesdays.
Can I apologize ahead of time to Glenn and Lou and Christian?
Why?
This is what we're going to leave them with?
No, their show will start at 2, just like ours started at 10 today.
at 10 sharp.
Well, 10. Almost at 10 sharp.
Or somewhere in that vicinity.
Here we go. Here's Chris Shime.
Couldn't cut it as a poor man stealing. Tired of living like a blind man. Sick of dying another sense of feeling.
He cracks himself up every time he does karaoke.
I can't help when Keith laughs. I can't help but laugh.
Try and play it straight, like you're trying to win an audition on American
Idol.
This
is how you remind me of what I really am.
Now he's got me cracked.
Finish the song, Chime. Come on. Well done, though.
Mistaken.
Well done,
Chime. Worth breaking.
There it is. It's every note, this guy.
We got to get out of here. OMF's coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Thank you for stopping by. Goodbye. 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 Thank you. Stopping by!
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.